Harry first realized something was up when he smelt it. It was a truly unique smell, and in his experience, unique was bad. So he threw up a shield mere moments before bombs went off all over his office, spraying the entire surface with an acid that actually began to eat through his shield. Dropping the spell, he whirled the Elder Wand in an arc, vanishing the corrosive liquid before it reached him. His respite was short-lived, however, as a boom of raw sound that reminded him eerily of the Triwizard Egg, amped up 100-fold, tore through the room. For the first time in a very long time, Harry cried out in pain, clutching his ears and looking on in shock as his hands came away bloody. They would heal, but he honestly couldn't remember the last time he'd bled. It was an odd sensation. He didn't like it. With a roar, black fire burst around the room, scorching away the various rune clusters and items dotted around, and just barely missing the cloaked figure, who executed a rather clumsy roll before popping up with a powerful piercing hex. Well, relatively powerful, Harry merely battered it aside, before launching off a barrage of curses that utterly perforated the man's shields and tore him apart in a thousand different ways. The man grabbed for his belt, only for it to fly into the outstretched hand of the ruler of Britain, who chuckled. Now, I think two surprises is as many as you get, George. Don't you agree? Aware that the gig was up, the obscuring charm on George's face slid away, revealing a mass of blisters and blood to match the rest of his body. The last Weasley twin chuckled, though it soon turned into a coughing fit, even more blood spattering Harry's floor. At length, he managed to pull himself together, looking up with a misshapen grin that echoed Mad-Eye Moody's in the most odd way.
"Comedy comes in threes, Harrykins!"
Harry had a fraction of a second to react as the belt exploded in his hand, releasing all manner of chaos. George kept his one working eye fixed on the cloud of rainbow-colored smoke, hoping against hope that his last-ditch attempt had worked. Alas, it was not to be. The smoke cleared to reveal an utterly apoplectic Harry Potter. His left arm was a stump after the elbow. Blisters and bird feathers sprouted in equal measure from his shoulder, and the skin on the left side of his face had been peeled clean off. Not that that was remotely the worst part. In the grip of the pure agony released by the owner of Weasley's Wizard Wheezes, Harry had let slip the numerous glamours used to simulate aging. The part of him not marred by George's handiwork looked still 20 at the very oldest, but his skin was a slick, waxy white. It pulled taut against his skull, as though some force from within him was attempting to draw it in. His hair, while still black, had lost its luster, falling limply in clumps. The only part even remotely resembling the man he had once been was his eyes. Still green, they now glowed with their own unnatural light, looking to all the world as though he'd trapped two killing curses in orbs. All in all, it was a truly, utterly appalling sight, and George couldn't help but laugh.
"Would you look at that? Guess we both got lovely glow-ups."
Harry, or whatever this creature wearing his face called itself, literally growled. His magic pulsed around him, a green blaze that blanketed George's mind in dread. Still, he was a Gryffindor, Merlin, dammit, and he wasn't seeing Freddy without a suitably cool exit.
"I'm impressed, Harry. That little firstie I met all those years ago would never have pulled this off."
While still blazing, Harry's aura seemed to regain control of itself, folding into a more manageable configuration. When he spoke, his voice was a far cry from the cultured tones of his pretensions. Now his voice had all the charm of nails on a chalkboard.
"And what, dear Master Weasley, do you mean by all this?"
George chuckled, before hacking up what he could only assume was a piece of lung.
"Oh, you know, committing Merlin knows how many murders. Framing Delphine Riddle, whom, by the way, I assume is an agent of yours."
His only response was a tilt of the monster's mangled face, but George figured that would do.
Let us not forget what essentially amounts to the brainwashing of thousands. All, of course, with the grand aim of conquering Wizarding Britain and bringing it to heel under your magnificent boot heels.
Harry truly couldn't help it. He threw back his head and began to guffaw. George flinched at the sickening sound, but held firm for just a bit longer. Harry fixed George with a piercing look. One half of his face, a grinning skull. The other, a grinning skull with some skin stretched over it.
Well, can't really hurt, can it? Right on all counts but one, Mr. Weasley. That'll be 5 points to Gryffindor. So very, very close. It's a damn shame you stuck with nobility. Merlin knows you'd be more useful than half my lieutenants. No, you missed one teensy-tiny little detail.
Wanting truly to savor this next moment, he knelt, bringing himself eye level with the redhead, one ruined face gazing at another.
I'm not trying to conquer Britain. I already did that. No, I was planning something a bit more global.
Harry relished in the look of shock and horror on George's face, only to be stumped as it morphed into a triumphant grin.
And scene.
Suddenly, three orbs shimmered into existence, hovering above Harry and George, apparently having entered from the doorway. Caught by surprise, Harry stumbled back, killing Curse eyes sweeping between the orbs and the downed man.
What did you do?
George laughed, ignoring the blood exiting his mouth as he forced himself to his feet, ignoring every part of his body screaming at him to just lay down and die.
Like him? Freddy's idea. We only managed to make a few prototypes before he died. But boy, are they useful. That was named Freddy 3, by the way.
He jerked a thumb at the center of the orbs, which did a little spin. Meanwhile, understanding was dawning in Harry's eyes, combating a blood-curdling fury that made George want to curl up in a ball and hide. He ignored that, too.
See, I always thought the buggers were slightly unethical to sell. All sorts of abuses you could pull off. That said, looks like Freddy came through for me one last time.
He stopped, before breaking into utterly hysterical laughter, his body literally falling apart.
Guess I was wrong! Looks like comedy comes in fours. Don't worry, though, your worship. I'm sure you can spin this somehow. I hear terrifying skull people are all the rage these days.
He was hunched over now, hands literally holding in some of his organs as Harry, his face solid stone, extended a hand. The Elder Wand whirled into his palm before he leveled it directly at the still guffawing ginger. George was shaking. His eyesight was fading, and he was pretty sure the fact that it didn't hurt anymore could not be good. But he still laughed. He chuckled and chortled. And when the incantation finally came, he just beamed.
Sweet fuck, it hurts to laugh.
Green light flooded the room, and George Weasley laughed no more. Standing stock still, Harry radiated a fury the likes of which he hadn't felt in decades. With vicious slashes of his wand, Fred III and the other two devices were reduced to scrap metal, but still he raged. 2 hours later, he exited the smoking wreckage of Potter Manor, his wounds healed and glamours in place. Not that they held any use now, besides the psychological. A grim smirk graced his features as he strode forwards. How deeply ironic that it would be George Weasley that so damaged his goals. He'd have to have a statue made of the prankster once his reign was set. Nevertheless, nothing had changed but the means by which he needed to operate. Subversion was off the table, so now war would be required.